بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وبارك على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا وبارك الله فيكم. الحمد لله. Today, as mentioned by the إخوة, we should discuss just a general advice for myself and yourselves as my brothers in Islam, Salafiyya, in relation to yani istiqama, remaining steadfast. For no doubt, alhamdulillah, this month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us to embark upon righteous actions and draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, the reality is that this month will come to an end. And then we need to know what will we do after that time. What will we do after that time? After that month? How do we remain steadfast? And no doubt, like all things in deen, it begins with ilm, begins with knowledge. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, من سلك طريقا يتمس فيه علما سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة. That whoever traverses upon a path seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path to Jannah easy for them. So if the individual sincerely wants to embark upon righteous actions need knowledge. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, he mentions an ilm qabla qawli wal amal. That a person at least have knowledge, or knowledge precedes speech and action. And so, as an individual, when we want to remain steadfast upon our deen, we must begin first and foremost with seeking knowledge. Attending the halaqat al-ilm. Attending the gatherings of knowledge, the circles of knowledge. Reading from the books of the ulama. Listening to the lessons of the ulama and tulab al-ilm. And not just seeking knowledge and gathering knowledge for the sake of gathering it. However, take it from the thamarat of that knowledge. Take it from the fruits and the benefits of that knowledge. And the fruits and the benefit of that knowledge are no doubt the actions. And righteous actions, this is what adorns your knowledge. Righteous action is what beautifies your knowledge, beautifies your affair of deen itself. For no doubt, in every salah, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Him, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path. And then we seek refuge from being from upon that path of those that are maghdubi alim, and those that have earned the anger of Allah. These individuals earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the fact that they had ilm, they had knowledge. However, they did not act upon it. Likewise, we do not want to be from amongst the dalin. The dalin, those that have gone astray, are the individuals that act. They perform actions. However, it's not based upon knowledge. They perform actions, but it's not based upon knowledge. They just act. So the two go hand in hand. Al-ilm wal-amal mutalaziman. Knowledge, and then it's action. Along with that, barakallahu feekum, the individual that is sincerely seeking to be upon righteousness, the istiqamah, really should look at his and consider the relationship that he has with the individual, the people. For indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned Al-Mar ala deen khalil. Falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. That individual is upon the religion of his companion. So look to whom you take as a companion. And that companion that you have, that individual, that's your sahib. Whatever he's upon, you'll be upon. Whatever he's upon, سُوَعَنْ كَرْمٍ خَيْرَ الشَّرْفِ. Whether it's from good or evil, you'll mirror him in that. And so, no doubt, you want your companion to be upon yani righteousness, istiqama, I mean upright. You want those companions to be upon that which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So reflect upon that, barakallahu feekum. And these individuals that you take as companions, why are they your companions? Are they your companions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are they merely your companions because you like, yani for example, the family that they're from, or the country that they're from, the tribe that they're from, their social status? No, your companion must be the companion upon istiqamah, deen. He's your friend because he's an individual, but what's apparent to you is an individual that practices Islam and strives to draw nearer to Allah. And this is true companionship. They draw nearer to one another based upon the Sunnah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many times do you hear the terminology Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah? Taha'ulai Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. That they are the people of Sunnah, they are the Jama'ah, they are the group. The reason why they are referred to as thus is due to the fact that they are brought together upon the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they give taqdeem, they give precedence to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their relationships over and above the ahwa wa ara' al-rijal. Over and above the desires of the men or the opinions of the men. Just their relationships. And so thus, as Uza'i, as mentioned by Uza'i, rahimahullah, when an individual came to him from amongst his aqarib, from amongst his relatives, وَمَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْيَدِ, and he stretched out his hand to greet him. And Uza'i, rahimahullah, refused and responded with the statement, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا لَكَانَتِ الْمَقَارَبَةِ. وَلَكِنَّهُ الدِّينِ, he mentioned, if there was a fear of dunya, then we'll have this relationship. We would have relationship. وَلَكِنَّهُ الدِّينِ وَلَكِنَّهُ الدِّينِ, however, it's deen. And this individual that came to greet him was individual upon bid'ah, upon innovation. So they want to establish a relationship with them. Even though they had a close relationship in terms of blood relation. And likewise, opposite is true. If you reflect upon the relationships that you have with your companions, do not allow the shayateen to enter within that relationship and to cause splitting. For no doubt, splitting is mazmoom. Splitting is blameworthy. And so thus, an individual, when it comes to his companionship, he should be one that embarks upon afu. And one that engages in any pardoning. No doubt, no individual is perfect. And you may see from your companion something that you may dislike. But you do not cause that to be an affair that causes you to split. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he mentions, وَمَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسِيَرَىٰ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives from you, yani after me, he'll see much differing. How it is differing that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is referring to, is different, which is blameworthy. And should not be a reason or cause for that. Be from those individuals, barakallahu feekum, that strive to seek knowledge. And be from those individuals, jazakum ala khaira, that seek to have strong relationships based upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With that, we'll conclude, barakallahu feekum. Jazakum ala khaira wa barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammad أحوال آله وصحبه وسلم. I think the brothers, they mentioned that if they had any questions, they could ask for post questions as well.
What happens if there's a Salafi brother that I fall out with, and I can tell he still has something in his heart about it after we make up, or I still myself have something in my heart about it, what do I do in both situations?
So if you you fall out with your brother, first and foremost, you fall out with your brother, yeah, these things may happen. You have disagreements. Nah, you have disagreements with your brothers. However, first and foremost, you must be well aware that Shaitan is haris. Now, Shaitan is steadfast in maintaining those splits. So, what may happen, first and foremost, is that there may be perceptions that there's still some issues amongst you. However, if you give precedence, as we mentioned, to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'am, then this is what we adhere to. And it's upon us to be well aware of the nusus in that regard. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, al-Muslim akhu Muslim, then the Muslim is a brother of the Muslim. Na'am. He mentioned that affair of akhuwa, brotherhood. And so it's not a relationship which is merely ma'alaka tafiha, yani one which is seen to be of no value or low value. Just as with your blood brother, you may disagree with your blood brother, but he's your brother. So you come together. You put everything to your side. He's your brother. That same relationship you should have, or maybe even more so than the individual that's upon Islam and the Sunnah. That's a brotherhood. That's true brotherhood. And that's when an individual now, he falls out with the brother and he has a disagreement with his brother, he needs to remind himself of these things. And so if now he has a falling out and he still feels some negativity towards him, now, first and foremost upon him is to seek to pardon. For no doubt he wants Allah to pardon him. When it comes to being pardoned, he wants Allah Ta'ala to pardon him. So why would he not pardon those that should be the closest to him in the dunya? And likewise, if he can distinguish and he truly believes that the brother still has a problem with him, has an issue with him, then as well, with that, he should go to him and advise him with the same advice. That he should pardon him and agree to pardon one another. For they know that whatever they disagreed upon, especially if it's the affair of the dunya, will be gone. There will come a time when you will not argue over this affair. When that time comes, all you will be concerned about are your actions. What did you put forth in this dunya? And so you should not allow for these things to yani grow and enter into the ranks of Ahlul Sunnah and grow and become one. Allah Ta'ala knows best.
What's more virtuous in giving money in sadaqah or nafaqa upon the family?
What's more virtuous, living money in sadaqa or nafaqa? What's more virtuous is no doubt than nafaqa upon your family, because this is obligation. And so a person, for example, he gives sadaqa to the masjid, but before that he should spend upon his family and make sure that his family is provided for. That's his responsibility. His responsibility as the man, for example, is to spend upon his family and to make sure that his family is provided for. And hence, this is why the man has been given that responsibility of his family. رجال قوامون على النساء. Yeah, the men have been given that degree and that authority over the women. And this is due to their infaq, their spending, the nafaqah. and adhering to that responsibility. And so a person should not be from those individuals that gives taqdeem to the mustahab over the wajib. So they neglect the wajib, in this case, spending upon their families, and they, in turn, they spend, maybe spend upon the mustahab, and it's khair that they spend it in that way, but then they, that means they don't spend upon their families. Now, just like the individual, he's steadfast when it comes to praying his sunnah prayers, for example, but he doesn't pray his wajib. May anfa, doesn't benefit him. Now, so a person should really, like all affairs in deen, make sure he has established the usul, established the foundations of the obligatory actions first. Then he builds upon the actions after that. And that's like anything in our ibadah. So that is ibadah with our body, our badan, or the ibadah of our mind, of our wealth as well. For no doubt, if we spend upon our families, it's the ibadah of our wealth. And so a person should do that, do the wajib first. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wallah. Barakallahu feek. As for the Asbab al-Nuzul, the reason for the revelation, I'm not sure. Allah. No, Allah. I'll try to find something for this, I'm sure. No.
Question. As we know, if you'd share a deen, a restraint during Ramadan,
yeah.
What advice or reminder can you give us with regards to when we come out of Ramadan and then it becomes a little bit more difficult, you know, our nafs whispers towards?
No.
Weaker,
I think we understand that the shayateen are locked up in Ramadan and chained up in Ramadan, and then now after Ramadan that won't be the case. It's important to understand that a person they fall into evil actions primarily due to three reasons. A person will fall into evil primarily due to three reasons. The first is due to the nafs. Either nafs, their own soul. And if they haven't strove against that nafs, then that nafs in its nature is the nafs which inclines towards the evil, the amar bisu. The second reason that a person may fall into evil is yani the shaitan, the wasawis of the shayateen. And the shaitan leading them astray. And then the third is essentially the hawa, their desires. These are three things. And each of them, no doubt, there's a way to remedy them. Each of them is a way to remedy them. And so even though na'am, within Ramadan, the shayateen are chained up, and it makes the affair of fully righteous actions easier, because now one of those three things have been removed. Na'am. When we leave Ramadan and we enter the month of Shawwal and this fadl of Ramadan has come to an end, then these three things again are restored. The first thing, I striving against one's soul, I mujahadatun nafs, is an obligation upon us. Where we seek, no doubt, to strive so that our soul becomes inclined towards doing good. And that the soul, in its asl, na'am, the nafs, the person within their own self, in its asl, in its foundation, it will incline towards evil. But then when they strive with it upon righteous actions, upon taqarrub ila Allah, then it becomes the nafs, that may be the nafs al-lawwamah, the self-reproaching soul. I where an individual may fall into something. However, then with that, the individual inclines to make tawbah. He falls into evil, but he inclines to make tawbah. And then you have the nafs al-mutma'inna. It's the nafs, this is the nafs that the person wishes to have for himself. That nafs that lives within itself and lives within itself upon tranquility. Why? Due to the fact that as an individual, he's worshipping Allah as he should be worshipped. He's clinging to the truth. He's obedient. This all comes with striving with the soul. That's the first thing. So the person seeks to make his soul يعني, in accordance with that which is the haqq. The second thing we mentioned was the wasawis of the shayateen. The whispers of the shayateen. And that no doubt the person should seek refuge from that. And embark upon adiyah, yani adhkar and dua. The adhkar and the sabah wa masa. He says words of remembrance in the night, words of remembrance in the day and during the morning. Seeking to repel these shayateen. For no doubt, the person should understand that the reality of these shayateen is that they are du'afa. The shayateen are weak. And these kalimat, these words of remembrance, and the du'a is stronger than anything that they can bring forth. For no doubt, they can only harm with the permission of Allah. So a person, he should not now reflect and think, okay, this month of Ramadan, because the shayateen are locked up, I have to make sure that this is the only time I can do righteous actions. Because when the shayateen come back after Ramadan, they're going to overcome me. No. The person knows the reality of the shayateen is that the shaytan is da'if, it's weak. If the person remains upright, if the person turns to Allah Ta'ala, yasta'in billah. And so, upon him, no doubt, is words of remembrance, recitation of Quran, ruqyah, and ruqyah upon themselves. Reciting ayat, the ayat of ruqyah upon themselves. Not seeking it from anyone else. And this is not a case that the person just recites his ayat at the time of ailment. But you can recite them anyway. And that means a protection. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us how we protect ourselves from the shayateen and their evil. And then we have the third, where the third is the person's desires, their hawa. And quite simply, the person needs to make his hawa, that which he desires, to be in accordance with that which the Prophet ﷺ came with, as he mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam. That the person should make their desires to be in accordance with that which he came with, i.e. the Kitab and the Sunnah. And that's when you immerse yourself upon good. You immerse yourself in good actions. To the extent that those good actions become desired to you and beloved to you. The person should find himself in a scenario where he has love for the righteous actions. He doesn't just do it as a duty, he has love for it. And this no doubt can only occur when he increases in his ilm of Tawheed. His knowledge of Tawheed of Allah. Because when he increases in Tawheed and his knowledge of Tawheed, he increases with that in loving that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. He loves that which Allah ta'ala loves from the places and the masajid. He loves that which Allah ta'ala loves from the times and Ramadan, Jum'ah, the likes of that. And he loves the people that Allah ta'ala loves. From the awliya, salihin, wal anbiya, wal mursaleen. And he loves the actions that Allah ta'ala loves. From the righteous actions, the upright actions. He loves these things. Because he knows that this is part of his tawheed. Part of worship Allah ta'ala alone, without any partners. Allah ta'ala knows best. So these are three things that a person can focus on in order to remain steadfast in that month of Ramadan. Allahu a'lam. Now.
Which are
good for us, which are bad for
us.
No. So, what we understand from the shayateen the shaitan has different means of leading someone astray. Naam. The shaitan has different means of leading someone astray. The first thing the shaitan will do is call you to what? The greatest thing that he'll try to do. Cause the shirk and kufr. Naam. That's the first thing the shaitan will try to do. Cause the shirk and kufr. If he's not able to do that, then call you to what? Bid'ah. Naam. New affairs in deen. If he's not able to do that, then call you to what? Major sins. Yeah, in the kabair of dhunub. Major sins. If he's not able to do that, then call you to what? The minor sin. Naam, the minor sin. If he's not able to do that, then what? Naam. A person immersing themselves in the mubah. Naam, he only thinks about the mubah. Because it's allowed, I'll do it. Now this is his thought process. If he can't do that, then what?
He tries to decrease your ibadah.
How? Leave off the mustahabbat. Naam, leave off the mustahabbat. If you can't do that, then the final thing is what?
Do you give precedence to something of a lower
value? No. That the person engages in all that which is dirt, mafdool. The things that have lower, that has less benefit for a particular time, for example. So they're both beneficial actions. However, for that time, he makes you engage in the thing that is less benefit. Now, less benefit for that time. Let's say, for example, the person is mu'tamir. He's on Umrah. Naam. And he has the Kaaba in front of him and he starts to open the Mus'haf and recite from the Book of Allah. Recite from the Mus'haf. Naam. Is the action good? Naam. Is that the best action you can do at the time? What's the best action you can do at the time? Of course. Tawaf. Naam. So the shaitan busy with that. So, the reason I say I outline those things now, those seven things, is now if you find an action and the shaitan or you have the thought to do an action, you have to ask yourself, is this action yani telling me to do any of these things? For example, is it telling me to do shirk? Of course, you know, from shaitan, or bid'ah, or major sins, or minor sins? Is the action telling me just to busy myself with that which is halal, or is it also telling me to leave off something now where there's something better that I could be doing? So it's about thinking about what is it that's been causing. So now, if the thought that you're having is to do something, for example, but there's something better you can do in that time, you know, this is inspired by the shaitan. However, if now you have a thought which is to do something khair, and it's a good action, inshallah, this is a good thought to have. And if I thought to embark upon and engage in. Now, it's important to understand what are the abawab and the turuq, the paths of the shayateen, and fight it upon that, and analyze it upon that. Inshallah. Barakallah. Okay. Both, sometimes need both. Just like, for example, the Anbiya Mursaleen, they came, Bashiran or Nazira. Naam, they came giving glad tidings, no doubt. Glad tidings of if you perform righteous actions, you have the reward of Jannah. And they came with warning as well. That if you fall into these actions, you may have the punishment of Jahannam. So when it comes to your relationship with your brotherhood now, you have to encourage him with good, no doubt. You enjoy the good and you forbid the evil. And this is from the khisal, this is from the characteristics of this ummah. كُنْتُ خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Yani, you're the best nation that's come from mankind. You enjoy the good and you forbid the evil.
What's the
What's the difference between motivation and being warning?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
So enjoying the good or forbidding the evil, essentially, is one is where you're telling someone about the good and you encourage them, targhiban, you encourage them with good actions, and essentially you're telling them about the good actions and inshallah what is the reward of that good action. This is how you encourage them. And then you have the warning, where you tell them about the evil of the action and what is the consequence of the action, i.e. the consequence in the dunya or the akhirah, or both. And of course, you can't say one is better than the other. Understand? Both are needed. Nah, both are needed. Why? Because the believer, he worships Allah, يعني, between al-khawf and al-raja. Al-khawf and al-raja. He has fear and he has hope. He has fear of Allah Ta'ala's punishment, but of course he hopes for his reward. And so you have to inform them of both, so that he has substantial fear and he has substantial hope. Barakallahu feekum. JazakAllah khairan. Wallah. Barakallahu feekum, ikhwan. JazakAllah khairan. صلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم